States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On the show this week, the USDF Education Department Manager Kathy Robertson joins us to tell us about the USDF Sport Horse Prospect Development Forum that's coming up. Later on, we're going to hear in our education segment the second part of our series from Dr. Kent Allen on understanding the USEF FEI medication rules. But first, we'd like to remind you that the Youth Silent Auction, which is held annually during the Adequan USDF Annual Convention, makes it possible for the USDF to provide scholarships to deserving young dressage enthusiasts to attend the annual convention, which in turn supports the future of the dressage. Donations of products and or service of any size or value are very much appreciated, and if you'd like more information about the silent auction or have information about potential donors, we would love to hear from you. Please contact the Youth Liaison Officer in the USDF office or email youth@usdf.org. Well, Kathy Robertson joins us now to talk about the USDF Sport Horse Prospect Development Forum that's coming up. Kathy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're going to talk about the forum that takes place next month, isn't it, in Georgia?
Yeah. This will be our third forum, and it takes place on October 24th and 25th at Shenandoah Farm in Alpharetta, Georgia.
And your instructors this year are well-known to USDF members.
They are. We have Scott Hassler returning for his third forum, and Willie Arts is joining the team this year, and we are excited to have him on board. Willie joined us last year when we were in California as a guest presenter, and we're very excited to have him on board as a featured presenter with Scott this year.
Do you want to talk us through the schedule for the 2 days, Kathy, and what members can expect?
We are right now in the process of reviewing our applicants and doing the selection of our horses, and we hope to select somewhere between 8 and 10 horses that will be joining us for the forum. And what is a little bit unique about the horses that we select is they are real three-year-olds. They are horses who maybe have never been off the farm until this forum, or maybe have been ridden 10 to 15 times in the last 60 days. So the attendees are going to see real problems and real three-year-old situations that the trainers deal with on an everyday basis. Last year, Willie, when he joined us as the guest presenter, did a series of demonstrations throughout the weekend showing his techniques as he started three-year-old from the lunge line through their very first ride, and we're hoping to incorporate that again this year, depending on the horses that we have available to us. And we're also going to be focusing on conformation and movement and their importance in the selection of these young horses, not only for the traditional breeds that we see in dressage, but also for the non-traditional breeds that we're beginning to see in the dressage arena. They're also going to be placing emphasis on good horsemanship, because we know that good horsemanship is a benefit to any horse at any level of training, but it's also especially important to the young horses in getting them started with a good foundation.
And are you also addressing, you know, that early stage of their career when they start to go out into the show ring as well?
That will depend a little bit on the horses that we select. The primary focus is bridging that gap between the time in hand, when they're in hand, to when they're under saddle, and how to get them started in a good foundation. So we sometimes don't go into the competition arena too much, but more focus on that foundation and how they're getting started.
Yes, the actual transition there, those early development days. Now, how do members find out more about this and sign up to become an auditor for the event, Kathy?
They can sign that. They can do our pre-registration, which is open through October 9th, and they can find that on our website at www.usdf.org. They can take advantage of our discounted pricing, again, through October 9th, but we will also be taking registrations at the door on the day of the event.
Is there anything else you'd like our members to know about this event? Because it is obviously a key event, you know, for people that have young horses to help them in those early stages of their training.
It is a key event. As I said, this is our third forum. We've moved them around the country. Our first one was in Massachusetts. Last year we were in California, and this year we're in Georgia. And it's important because of the foundation that we're trying to establish, a consistent training building blocks, if you will, for young horses that is hopefully going to become a little bit more standardized across the country so that we are sure that all of these young horses are getting a solid start and a solid foundation.
Very important to performance horses, of course. And we should mention this is presented by Dressage at Devon. Do you want to tell us about that partnership?
Yeah, we are very happy and we're very excited when Dressage at Devon came on board. They have been an educational partners of ours with this forum for the last 3 years. And it really is because of their support that we were able to get this program off the ground and running. And we are very thankful for their generous support and look forward to their continued support.
Wonderful. And a reminder that the USDF Sport Horse Prospect Development Forum, presented by Dressage at Devon, takes place on October 24th and 25th at Shenandoah Farm in Alpharetta, Georgia. Kathy, thank you very much for coming on the program and telling us about it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And now in our education segment, we continue the series by Dr. Kent Allen on understanding the USEF FEI medication rules.
So, natural supplements, okay, and there are lots of good herbal things, and you'll see feeds now with herbal supplementation. That's all fine. And all the, we're going to talk again about permitted vitamins, minerals, nutraceuticals are all permitted and allowed. Not a problem, okay? Here's where the hang-up is. When you talk about these herbal calming agents, they can have a lot of different things in them. And some of them, as Dr. Schumacher can attest to, actually have drugs in them. And one of them is valerian root. And valerian root works to calm the horse. That has been proven. Okay? So, gosh, valerian root, then does that meet our measure of the level playing field? No. Okay? Because that means the cleverest person who can adjust their dose of valerian root just right wins the dressage test. That's not what anybody had in mind. So valerian root and any herbal supplements that contain those sort of things are illegal. And I can even make it simpler for you. People ask me on these herbal calming things, well, what is legal and what's not legal then? And I just say very simply, if it works, it's illegal. A simple measure. Now, having said that, remember that while the equine has no placebo effect, we, the observers, are humans. We know we have 40% placebo effect. Okay? So, a lot of the times, you're observing the horse and you go, well, he's going better on this. Hey, he may or may not be. You can about flip a coin as to whether or not he is because of the human placebo effect. Okay? You are talking yourself into seeing something that's not really there. And that's well, well documented in human medicine and a big issue. So what I guess I would tell you on the herbal calming supplements is be very cautious about using them, okay? Because there is often not a complete list of substances within those products. And you used to actually see this in ads. USEF will not test positive or won't test USEF positive, won't test FEI positive. And Dr. Schumacher, why don't you respond to that here for a second?
If you ever see anything that says approved by USEF or FEI, then let us know, because we don't approve products. And really, when people call up and ask us drug and medications questions, we don't comment on whether something tests or not. I think valerian root's an excellent example. What we will talk about is whether something's permitted or forbidden. And it's forbidden based on what the action is intended for. In other words, how it works on the horse, cardiovascular system. That's the spirit of the rule. That's the letter of the rule. It's not an individual drug. And so even though we may comment and say, hey, it's forbidden, there may not be a test for it. But that doesn't mean that's not going to be true forever. Valerian root, people used it for years thinking, hey, it's an herb, it's a plant, it's not a big deal. They don't test for it. It doesn't test. And since then, there's a test developed, and it's we detect it commonly. So I would hazard against that, saying something may be against the rule, but it doesn't test, because that's not always going to be the case.
So it's a real can of worms, the herbal soothing and calming agents, not soothing. And it is very difficult. A lot of people have inadvertently been tripped up on this particular issue. And they think they're doing the right thing. They're giving their horse a quote-unquote calming agent that they feel is necessary. And unbeknownst to them, it has a drug in it. And, you know, you're the person responsible with your horse. You know, ignorance is not a defense. And, you know, you're going to get a penalty or go before a hearing committee, one way or the other. It won't be any other way. So I'd caution you. I mean, you know, kind of everybody caught on to these things, and they've been advertised like crazy. And there's a very nicely written disclaimer on the herbal medications, particularly the calming medications. And I don't want you to think this translates to the nutraceuticals, the Cosquin ASU, some of these products. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking specifically about the calming agents. Okay, so be cautious with those. Remember, testing procedures evolve. Okay, if we think people are, it made the national news not that long ago, people on the racetracks were injecting vodka IV. Okay. As a calming agent. And so there was looking into a normal level of alcohol and development, because alcohol is metabolized very quickly in everyone but me, then it goes away quickly. But what's interesting is the metabolites stay. Okay? And so there is a methodology actually to detect it. The answer to your question specifically is, I think what our consensus opinion is, the very low levels of alcohol in these tonics and that sort of thing are not enough to trigger any of the tests that are currently being considered. It's like the question on the cocaine test that went on is, well, it's in the dollar bills that people handle and the grooms handle. And we got our pharmacologist to say, well, that's exactly correct, and you would need about a 55-gallon drum of dollar bills to get this level in the horse. So anyway, it's an interesting question. And so, you know, all these things have to pass the test of reasonability, okay? And so, you know, don't get me wrong. It's not like testing is out there looking at every molecule down to the picogram level. That's not what it's about. It's looking at specific things. In many of these, say caffeine, theobromine, which can be environmental contaminants, there are already set threshold levels. And DMSO has a threshold level. Salicylic acid has a threshold level. You feed your horse alfalfa hay, guarantee you're feeding it salicylic acid. But there's threshold levels built in for this. So, you know, we're not trying to trip up everybody on every little thing. There are actually levels that are already set to protect you that way, and you have to exceed them by a pretty good margin to trip the test as a positive. We'll move on to the classifications real quickly. We've talked about these. Forbidden upsets the level playing field. Restricted. And there's a very finite number of substances, the approved non-steroidals, the dexamethasone, and Robaxin or methocarbamol. That's all there is. Okay, there are no more than that. Those, again, no form. You don't need to fill out a form on those. That won't help you to fill out a form on those. Okay, so don't go bug the show secretary about a form for giving your horse bute. Observe the dose and time restrictions, and you're fine. A form will not help you anyway if you get an overage. I grew up back in the days of Furosin was a big deal. And, you know, you hear this little rumor that runs through the community. I mean, my all-time favorite was we had one trainer who happened to determine when Surpass came on. It went from, it's legal. Of course it's not legal. It's FEI. You can't use a non-steroidal. To, oh, well, then it doesn't test. Of course it tests. And then he had gone out and told about 10 people this, who then told 40 more. And there was like this rampant rumor running through the community. And then I made this idiotic decision one night to get on the Chronicle chat thing and try to correct it. That was one of the bigger mistakes of my life. I mean, in the end, I was typing my 54th response. And my wife came down and wanted to know who I was having an affair with online. And I, well, so it was, I've never gone back to that since. I learned my lesson. So, and then there are the permitted substances. And these are not regulated by USEF. And again, are the nutraceuticals, that sort of thing, Cosquin ASU, those products. Aspirin is an interesting one because it is a threshold substance, like we were talking about. If you feed alfalfa hay, you're feeding your horse salicylic acid, so it has a threshold built into it. Now, if you're feeding just low-dose therapeutic aspirin, you're not going to trip over that threshold, okay? You can't do it unless you're using huge amounts of it, non-therapeutic amounts, okay? So that won't happen, I can tell you. Now, there's a very famous case, however, back in 1995, 97, where actually the entire British Federation melted down over this particular incident, is the team vet was experimenting with injecting salicylic acid into the horses, and a rider who was also a veterinarian, unbeknownst to the team veterinarian who was doing something illegal, then was adding it herself. And they tripped and lost their medal at the European Opens over this. And I don't know whether it was the WEG or the European Opens. I can't remember. Anyway, the whole thing was a mess. And then it turned into a bigger mess later on. But, you know, the point is, what I learned from that, you can't trip that threshold level on just environmental dietary things. You've got to actually be using gigantic amounts orally or injecting it to do it. So you're safe with aspirin.
And next week we will have part 3 of this 4-part series. These excerpts are from the Riding for the Vet DVDs, which can be found in the USDF online store at usdf.org. And Dr. Allen will be back among the presenters at this year's Adequan USDF Annual Convention, which takes place at the Rio All Suite Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, from the 2nd through the 5th of December. And you can register online on the website and find out all the details of the meetings and education sessions at usdf.org. And whilst you're there, be sure to check out all the latest educational information and resources at eTrack. And that's it for this week's program. Thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.